Hi, I'm Pastor Brett Cooper.
And I am Dr. Linda Miles.
And this is the Creative Caregivers Podcast. Hey, I'm so glad that we're on this journey together. This is so much fun, being able to be together, being able to talk through. I would love to hear from you. How in the world you listen to these podcasts? Do you do it when you're like mowing the lawn, or do you do this when you like getting a free moment, or do you do it driving your car? I wonder. I mean, people listen to podcasts in different ways. Or are you one of those people who sits down and takes very detailed notes? That's usually not the case with podcasters, but I just want you to know, if that's you, I'm very impressed. We are very impressed with you, and we're so glad that you're on right now to be able to listen to this. And we've got a great topic for you tonight. I say night because we like to record this at night because we are in my mom's zone, okay? So you guys, she's the professional. I'm just kind of having fun. We're in my red zone, but we are in her green zone. Like, this is go time. But this is called creative recognition. Creative recognition. And so you've got to recognize what's going on in you, and you need to recognize what's going on with the person that you care for. And when you do that, you need to do it in a very creative way. That's why we are creative caregivers, because it's very important that you get creative at this point in your life. Wouldn't you say so, Dr. Miles?
Absolutely. And also, I wanted to make a comment about note-taking.
Of course.
That there's a happy medium. Because what I do when I'm listening to a podcast, even if I'm walking, I toggle back and forth to my notes on my phone.
Really?
So I'll stop the podcast and I will make notes. So there's a happy medium between being extremely detailed.
Oh, that's great.
And nothing. Just saying.
No, that's a beautiful thing if you have that ability. I don't, but I'm so glad you do.
Yes.
It's awesome. Like, I'm either all in or not in. You know?
Yes.
Like, or just disengage, and it's kind of somewhere going into my subconscious, you know?
Yes, I got to.
Yeah, but hey, you know what? That's a great way to do podcasting. And as a matter of fact, it's surprising how much of that you retain, you know, while doing something else.
Well, and it would be very timely to listen to this podcast when you're actually caregiving it.
Wow, yes. Yes,
to just get reminders about what to do. Because one of the things we're going to talk about today is attempting in your mind to stay as much as you can in the present moment.
Yes.
That is so tough, and we know it. We cared for someone with dementia I did it for 2 or 3 years, and my son came to help me, which is just incredible. But I use sometimes with clients the metaphor that if you imagine three roads. And that you're on a center lane, and there's an exit off to the right and an exit off to your left.
Yes.
The exit to your left is into the past.
Mm.
And it's very easy to go there when you have someone with dementia or someone who's very ill and they're fading. Because you can go to, why is it like it used to be?
Wow.
Why did we do this? Why did we do that? The fact is, you are where you are.
That's right.
You know, never mind counting the candy bars that someone ate. No, it's too late for all that. It's time to accept that you're where you are.
Yes.
And the other exit is into the future. It's like, oh no, what's going to happen? What's going to happen now? What's going to happen tonight? That's not very helpful either, unless you're using it as planning time. For, okay, this is what we're going to do next. This is our next step. Because dementia comes in stages.
Yes.
And it's like, okay. And I know the hardest for us was stage 7, when he became incontinent and non-ambulatory. So he couldn't walk and he couldn't take care of himself. You want to be prepared for that.
Yes.
And I have a friend right now who's also a therapist, whose husband has dementia, and she's now trying to get prepared for that stage. Like, what am I going to do, Linda, when it gets to there? So that's helpful. Brett, I think it's important for us to tell people, always ask yourself if your imagination is helping you or hurting you.
Oh, that's good. Always it's ask yourself.
Helping you if it helps you look ahead and plan.
There,
or
yeah.
go backwards and think of positive memories. It is not helping you as a worry machine that whirls around in the past or in the future. So ask yourself that question, because it is hard enough to be a caregiver without spinning all this fabricated worry to yourself.
Yeah, so what I'm kind of taking from this as you're talking about it is that you should pass your past, you know? You need to pass that exit. You need to get past your past.
Back to the center lane.
Yeah, and you need to pursue in the present moment. Like,
yes,
stay there.
Ahead.
And plan for the future.
Yes.
So your plan is like your GPS, not an exit.
No.
Off into, what could go wrong?
Oh, no.
Okay, so there's one thing I think we need to say in this. Be careful who you put yourself around, because some people are big worriers.
Oh,
they'll tell you everything that could go wrong. And, let's say you want to keep them home with you. And, if you keep them home, this could happen and they could do this and this and this and that. Well, you can't live your life that way.
Right.
You know, I'm a big advocate for prayer. I truly believe that if you can take time to pray and just listen, open your heart, hear what the Lord is showing you. And some of you may be listening to this and you're like, well, wait a minute, here comes the preacher. I'm an atheist. Leave me alone about this prayer stuff. Well, listen, why don't you meditate a little bit and just find the right answer? You never know. God might show up in that moment for you. But I just had to throw that in. I have a great friend who's an atheist, and I'm his token preacher friend. So, you know.
Yeah.
So for those of you who are atheists out there, we love you.
Yes. And for many people, that is extremely helpful.
Yes,
and we
absolutely
know that, because you're not focused on thinking, I've got to have all the answers right now.
Yes,
you're asking for help.
Absolutely,
you're asking for higher wisdom.
Yes, and I think that it's an amazing thing if you can just open up your heart, open up your mind, and be able to get into that place. And we're even going to talk about how to pay attention to what's going on the inside of you as we go through this. Well, we have 4 points tonight. 1, 2, 3, 4. And we're going to get into them. We're having so much fun, though, just like doing this. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe, you know what might be fun is if we just had a non-planned, let's just have a conversation podcast one time. Sometimes that's some of the best. We're not going to do that tonight. We actually have this written out for you and planned out. But let's talk about the first one when we talk about creative recognition. The number one thing that you need to do is you need to relate with their new reality.
Yes.
You need to relate with their new reality. So in other words, they're living a new reality. They're not living in the past that they used to be in. They're living in a brand new reality today. And what you need to do is relate to their new reality. In the present moment, yes.
Yes. And not get into, don't you remember, or, you know, why are you like this, or anything that's super judgmental, when that's the best they can do. They don't have the skills to remember. They don't.
No, they don't. And so that is key. Well, let's talk about this next point here. We need to accept the present moment. Except where you're at. Now, remember, we talked about pursuing in the present moment. We're talking about staying in that middle lane. Well, and that takes making a choice to accept the moment that you're in.
Absolutely, 100%. And so getting back to that vision that you want to do what's constructive and move ahead and not let your imagination backfire on you.
Right.
Now, I also want to say, Brett, accepting doesn't mean you like it.
Oh, that's so good.
People think, oh, if I accept it, it means that I like this and I really want it to change.
Yes.
It means accepting what you can't change, what is not going to change.
Yeah, yes. Accept the things that you can't change. Courage to change the things that you can, and the wisdom
to know the difference.
Oh, the serenity prayer. It's beautiful.
Exactly. And if you're with someone who's terminally ill, or they have dementia, they're going to go downhill.
Yes.
That's just part of the process. So, you know, and that doesn't mean you can't pray for them, that you can't want something different.
Right.
But you accept, okay, we are where we are.
Yes, absolutely. We are where we are. And let's accept the present moment we're in, even if we don't like the reality. Because you can really, I sit here and think about, like, when you think about teams.
Yes.
You know, that this is what they say. They say, play to win. Don't play to not lose. And I think sometimes teams play to not lose it. And what happens when they start losing, they think, oh, well, it's over. And they just kind of give up.
Yes.
Instead of saying, you know what? No, we're 20 points down. You know, this is bad. But it's not over.
Right.
Let's just accept where we're at. We're really down. But let's keep pushing forward. And just,
we're not going to let our imagination run us in the ground.
That's right.
Thinking about terrible things like, oh, gosh, we shouldn't have done that 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's kind of like for some of you who are listening to this, you may be into the game of golf. One of the things about the game of golf is trying to forget the last hole that you just played.
Exactly.
Because sometimes you just have a bad hole. Sometimes you just have a bad, whatever your game is or you enjoy, or if you're a musician, trying to forget that last note that you hit wrong. I mean, it's making a decision to move forward. So accept the present moment that you're in.
Yes.
Well, here's the next one, and this is very important. Introspection and improv.
Yes.
So another, you've got to look within. You've got to introspect, look around inside of yourself. And Dr. Moss got some great stuff on this. But also on the outside, you're improvising. You are acting out a certain role. That's why being a creative caregiver is understanding that you are putting on a show for them, especially if you're dealing with someone with dementia. And don't get me wrong, I realize with some of our listeners, you're caregiving for somebody with drug addictions and things like that, and there needs to be a little more tough love and reality, and it's a little different. But for those of you who are working with someone who has dementia, it becomes so key that you make a decision that you're going to introspect and you're going to improv. So tell us a little bit about introspection. What are some of the things that you want to know on that?
Okay, do you mind if I say improv first?
Oh, no, go ahead. Yeah, because you've got that on your mind. I can tell. Well, you're ready to drill down on that.
I do, because it has to do with introspection. I'm really talking about both.
Mm.
One of the things that would happen to me with Robert is when I would get ready to go to bed, and you and I shared shifts, and so I'd be up very late, so it'd be like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
He would beg me to please stay.
Yes.
Beg me. Okay, now I could have said, well, why can't I do what I used to and be with him all the time at night? Or I could have, you know, thought something very destructive, like, oh, is it always going to be this way? No, I accepted it, but I also improvised, because I realized if I said, you know what, I'm just going to go upstairs and put on my pajamas, that he would go to sleep and forget.
Right.
It was my leaving that was a trigger.
Wow.
So if I just sat there and beat on myself, and I did feel bad, but I knew I had to sleep and I had to take care of myself. So it's listening to yourself, to your own body.
Yes.
And another thing I want to add, Brett, is that I did what's called body scans. And that is, I would just let my attention scan through my body and see where I felt tension.
Wow.
And then I would just stop and picture letting go some of that tension.
Wow.
In my mind. Because as a caregiver, we build it up all day long.
Boy, yeah, no, can we? And so what do you do when you feel tension in a certain area? How does someone deal with that?
Well, first of all, you got to notice it.
Right.
You need to recognize that you have the tension. So you just scan through your body. Now, I'll give you an example. Okay, so I would scan through my body and I would realize, my shoulders are so tense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when I did that, I would picture letting those muscles relax some.
Yes.
Just releasing some of the tension.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would deliberately do stretches.
Yes.
Like stretch my arms up or stretch them to the side. because I would become aware that I was holding there.
Wow.
And it was going to build up. And I just would caution caregivers, don't let it build up.
No.
You know, go for a walk. Find ways to get it out. Even if you walk around the room, move.
Move, yes.
And that's hard. Although it's not so hard when you're improvising.
Right.
Because oftentimes you have to act like, well, you know, I had to act like I was escorting a wild turkey elf.
Right.
Because he saw a wild turkey. So sure. That was exercise. I could get up and move around. Or that I went to get his favorite drink for him.
Yes.
The Boost.
The Boost.
That that's he thought right. was a milkshake.
Yeah. Oh, God.
You know, so that was different.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, he loved Boost.
Oh.
Make him so happy. I know. Absolutely.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you for this.
Yes. Well, now the fourth one, this is really, now, Dr. Miles is going to have the research on this and understand this. I doubt we have the time to really get into all that tonight, but there's just something I've experienced personally. And that is that usually with meeting with couples, I'll notice that one person out of the couple, one person is really the fixer in the relationship. That's just something that, so this is my own personal research.
Yeah, and that it isn't necessarily a man or a woman.
Right, no, it's not. You know, it's funny because it's been more men than women that I've seen that with. But it's not necessarily that. Usually one of them is the fixer. They're trying to fix their relationship. And that just has to do with my small sample audience. So it's not a gender thing, but it has to do with a fix-it thing. And so this is what I want to say. When someone has dementia and you're working with it, you are the fixer.
For real.
I mean, embrace that role.
You better turn into it.
That's right. If they may have always been the one to fix the relationship or fix things. Not anymore.
It's
you're
a
going
new
to,
reality.
You're going to play their role now. Yes. You're the one that's coming out with the I'm sorry's and all that kind of stuff, right?
I think it's important to say, to be flexible.
Yes.
Be flexible.
Be flexible. Yeah.
It's so important. We know healthy families are flexible. They can change. They're not going to keep doing the same thing every day, especially if it doesn't work.
You know, I can feel it. We have listeners right now that are sitting there going, that's not us at all. As a matter of fact, we've never had a debate before, and so it hadn't been a problem. But when we have, we both are the fixers. We're both at. Is that true? No, probably not. But In this relationship, it's so important to realize that you are the fix. Play that role, improv it, go into it, and just make the decision. Say, I'm going to embrace that. I believe that'll be so freeing to you to realize this isn't going to be a coexistence fix.
Right. Oh, yes, because I remember when I got very sick, and of course, Robert had been a physician. And I, of course, again, we all lose it.
Right.
And I said, I'm sick and you don't care. And he just blankly stared at me. He couldn't care.
Right.
So I needed to figure out what we needed to do to fix it.
Oh, I know. I remember I had something really go wrong with me. And I was going, I didn't know what was happening. And I remember saying, this would be a really good time for Doc to snap out of it for about 30 minutes and tell me what's going on. You know? But that wasn't going to happen, you know? So you just embrace the time you're in. You stay in that middle lane. You don't exit off into the past and you don't exit off into the future. You make a decision to stay right where you're at. That's very important. So negotiation of compromise. You're the one making the compromises. And just go ahead and embrace that. So let's go back through this. Be creative recognition. What is it? It is to relate to their new reality. It is to accept the present moment. It is introspection and improv. And it is negotiation of compromise. And I just hope that this time has helped you so much to be able to discover how to take your caregiving to a great place, to a wonderful place of peace and understanding. Anything else, Dr. Miles?
I just wanted to comment on the word negotiate.
Negotiate.
Because if you're going to negotiate, you're going to need to negotiate with other caregivers. And please do that.
Yes.
Get advice. Advice from the healthcare people. Go online to the Alzheimer's Project or whatever their illness is.
Yes.
But you're not going to negotiate with someone who's extremely ill. Yeah.
Negotiation of compromise. You're going to make compromises.
Yes. Yeah.
Just go ahead and get a hold of that.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being on with us. And I just look forward to our time together again next week.